Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here. Brianna, did you miss me last week?
Yeah, I did.
We're just kind of like...
I missed everybody.
We
missed you last night.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
True.
That's good to be missed.
You just woke up and your voice was gone,
no need to miss
huh?
me. No, my body was gone to the Grand Canyon, and I ran across the Grand Canyon, did rim to rim with some friends.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Good for you, bro.
It was
you
crazy impressed me all the time. Good. And then one of my buddies nearly died, but we saved him.
Oh.
That's not good.
He threw up so much. It was terrible.
Oh, wow.
Yikes.
I'm sorry.
But we saved him. I'm excited. First of all, I want to hear about your might could have been. But before we do, I'm introducing Matt and Brianna to two people that a lot of people don't know, but pretty quick, everybody is going to know them. But it's so fun because they just, this is the way it strikes me. They look like beautiful, somewhat normal people.
I can second that.
There we go. Yeah. Right? Bumped into them, like you're at Nordstrom or Neiman Marcus, and you're getting your little
just like
pods.
The average people you want to hang out with. Yeah,
nothing average about these people. And I don't know. This might be one of those podcasts where I don't know. Do you have to go anywhere?
Not that I know of.
Okay. No. Because God has just been. He has just invaded your life so magnificently, and I know a few pieces, and I was so excited about it. And really, Rebecca just clamors for attention.
Oh,
she like wants to be on the stage.
No way.
Oh, I read that wrong.
I run from it.
This is Rebecca terrified. But Jason's here. Jason and Rebecca, welcome to Sent 315.
Yes. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. So Jason and Rebecca, should we just talk about jazz? Because she's kind of my favorite.
Let's do it.
Okay. No. we'll have her come on. I wish you could defend yourself. You really do. You got a great family. You really
Thank
do.
Thank you.
It's just beautiful.
Thank you.
So let's get the version of, which I think is beautiful, how you guys came to the Lord. Because it wasn't just... normal stuff, like I went to Future Quest and I gave my life to Jesus or something. So jump right in and tell us.
Well, for me, first of all, my dad raised me. My dad's not a believer, but his mom was, so my grandma was. And, you know, my dad always, he was a functional alcoholic, you know, used drugs, and we as young kids, we'd always be at parties wherever he would be, we would go. And he would be in and out. Sometimes we found him in downtown jail and just like that. Anyways, so as I'm growing up, I was rebelling. I was like, well, I'm going to do what I want. I mean, look at him. He doesn't care what I do. So when I would get in trouble, he would send me to church.
Vicious punishment.
And I was like, what? You're going to church with your grandma? And it was like, send me anywhere but church. It was the biggest deal for me. And I would clean the house. No, you're going to church. And I would just hate it. So anyway, so then I would go with my brother would be bad too, but he would just send me. And I would just hate it just going in there. And I'm like, why are they wearing skirts? So I was like, what is this? And I'd look around and, you know, people turning heads because, you know, I'm new. So people are looking at me. Then I would see my grandma pray, and I hear, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what is that? Oh, they're talking tongues. Now that I'm older, I'm like, oh, they were talking tongues. But then I would have some uncles, too, that they would say they were believers, but then their life was, you're not showing it. So I would meet a lot of people. Oh, I'm a Christian, but then you're doing drugs, you're doing this. So I'm like, you fake phonies.
Yeah.
This Christian stuff is fake. So I hated churches. Anytime my friends, you want to go to church? No, thank you. So no. Just hated the church. So anyway, so as you know, I'm having kids, and I always believed in God. So I knew there was a God, but I was like, I have kids. I don't want my kids to live the way I did. I don't want that. I'm like, I know they have to be at a church, but ooh. And I tried different churches, and I ended up at this one church. You know, I'd visit, go here and there, and then they had this book, David Wilkerson. It was in the back.
Oh, yeah.
They were selling it, but I stole it. So I stole the book. I was like, I'm at church. Doesn't matter. Like, so I stole it. I took it. And I had it in my house, and I just remember just the struggle. I was just struggling, you know. The drug use was a big one for me. My addiction was a big one.
One thing you shared with me, too, and I see this when I'm talking with people who have really had kind of a radical conversion, is that anger played a big role in your life.
Yes, I was not just angry. If there's another word, rage was mine. Yeah. Rage. It was just I can go from 0 to 100 instant. It didn't matter where I was. I will break your windshield. I will cuss you out. I will run you over, anything, because I've done it before. And I didn't have any sympathy for anybody. It was just anger, just instant anger. Mm-hmm. So when I had kids, it was just like, I have no patience for these kids. So I would use to numb. I would use to numb. But when I would have withdrawals, it would just come out. So anyways, I just remember I can't be like this, but I couldn't get over my addiction. I just couldn't. I would just go and get my bags at Barrio Logan by the park. I would go there, take my kids. And I even use it while I was pregnant. And I was just like, I had that cry in my heart, Lord, save me. I was laying down. I was like, if you're mother effing real, save me. Because I would, the withdrawals and...
And he could take that kind of prayer.
And I was just laying there, just saying, I'm like, if you're real, you have to take this away from me. So that's just my prayer. That was just my prayer. And one day I just grabbed that book. I'm like, this David Wilkerson guy. I'm like, oh, I'm just going YouTube. So I was looking, I was like, oh, he's over there screaming. I'm like, what is he talking about? But I played him. I played a sermon, and I forget what the sermon was about. I just remember the conviction that I've never had, that I never got from a church. Mm. A conviction. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is real. And I just remember him saying, pray this prayer after me. He goes, it's not just a prayer, but if you say it from your heart, God will hear you. And I was like, well, let me try it out. And it worked. Because I just remember saying, okay, if you want me, God, to stop using, you have to. I don't want to withdraw. Because if I withdraw, I'm not going to believe you. I'm not going to serve you. Because you're a liar.
Yeah.
And behold, the next day, I was like, okay, should I flush my stuff? Don't flush it. I was like, no, I'm not going to flush it. I was waiting for the withdrawals, the body aching, the sweating, the shakes. I didn't.
Wow.
Dang. I was like, Jesus. No, the second day is going to happen. Waiting. I was like, maybe I should try. I'm like, no, let me just wait. No withdrawals.
Wow.
Third day, I was like, the third day is going to do it. Nothing. And I was like, maybe this stuff is real. And I just started just listening to this David Wilkerson guy. And I was like, let me just hear him. And I just started growing the hunger that I know the Lord created in my heart. I'm real. And I was like, no way, this is real. And I just opened that Bible. I was like, here, this Bible thing I never even read. I don't even know what it's about. But I started reading, and the words just...
Amazing.
Like, yeah. So many times when we're talking to people about how you came to the Lord, the vast majority of times, God uses people in their lives, mm-hmm. And it seems as though the people in your lives weren't the ones that are showing the hypocrisy of saying you're one thing and not doing the other. And I don't even know if David Wilkerson's still alive.
He's not.
But boy, mm-hmm. there was the impact. But you guys, and I want to hear from Jason too, you guys pretty much got a hunger, and mm-hmm. I think the Lord probably placed the compulsion inside you to just start changing things and going after it. So you gave your life to the Lord before you got married? Okay.
Yes, well, before he did. We were already married.
You were already married.
Okay, yes, we were already married.
Okay, so jump in, Jason. What about you?
Well, to continue the story, I'll jump in at the point where I can remember vividly hearing the Wilkerson sermons. I'm in the other room.
That was me.
Watching TV, whatever. Not really, I'm off work. I'm just hanging out. And I would hear these sermons. And previous to that, we visited the same churches. Yes. We knew the same people. Yeah. One Easter, I said a prayer. I repeated a prayer to accept Jesus into my heart. I remember saying it, and I can vividly remember feeling like a deposit.
Wow.
But after that, I wasn't discipled by anybody. No one came along and said, hey, Jason, here's a book. Listen to this or that. I was just on my own. Mm-hmm. So when I started hearing these sermons, I was like, this is truth. Mm-hmm. I need more of it. Because mm-hmm. at that point, we were kind of limping along mm-hmm. in this world as far as being a husband and wife and parents to our children. And I knew I needed to be better as a husband, as a father, because I knew my life before was nothing of like that, nothing like that. So hearing these sermons, I started doing my own searching on the side. Of course, I didn't let her know.
Yeah, right. So, you don't want to do that.
So as I'm working, I started listening to sermons on my Bluetooth, Wilkerson, and then I'd go a little bit farther. Okay, who's Wilkerson? Is he's gone to glory. Who leads this church now? Okay, Carter Conlin, I listen to him. then Francis Chan.
Mm. Now you're getting dangerous.
Right. Yeah. So I got all this, and I couldn't get enough. I couldn't get enough. And I remember
once. You just took off.
Man, oh man.
I remember, one time we start conversating finally about the word, our own prayer life, what we'd like to see in our marriage for our children. And that comment you just made, she just looked at me like, when did you
start? Yeah. I was like, wait, who's this guy?
Was it like one of those secret conversations where it's like, I've been reading like a really good book. And then she's all, I've been reading a really good book.
Yeah. It was one of those. Together, like, oh,
this book has verses in it. This
is an interesting book. And it's interesting too, the thing that from your testimony that's really hit me is you came from very different backgrounds.
Yeah.
You could have been the one like, you didn't have a similar upbringing at all. It was just kind of normal, and you were the nice guy, and everything was going pretty good. Well, right
on the surface.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, me growing up, I can say that I didn't really have the bad experiences, but lying beneath, there was always things that I would, even from being a young boy, I would see, I would experience, like my mom remarrying. Well, who was she married to first? Because I don't really remember that. Mm. But I was present for her marriage to my father, the man I call my dad.
Sure.
And then just growing up, there was a last name change thing. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. My last name was this 1 year. The next year it's this. Mm-hmm. My brother and sister came. And my dad, my father, he's 6'5". I'm not.
Just like you.
I'm just a few inches shorter. And so just things would be like, okay, all right, like I'm in this home. They provided everything we needed as a family. Mm-hmm. We didn't go without anything.
Mm-hmm.
But now looking back, I always had this almost like this worm eating me inside. And now that I know the word and the truth, the enemy was working those thoughts, those suggestions into my mind that I, this isn't where you come from. Yeah. This isn't your family. These aren't your parents. There's better for you out there in the world. So I did all the things. I graduated high school. I was good at school. I went to college, played sports. But once I stepped out on my own, I was all for everything the world had for me. The drinking, the drugs. I would always work, and I did well at work. I'd get promoted. And I would really like to touch on that point where I had a really good job. And we just moved into our home, and we bought a house with the help of my parents. Like I said, they've always been there. I lost my job. And we had a pretty serious discussion with some family friends, if you will, at the home. And that was one thing I can remember. Just if my heart wasn't truly soft already, my wife's response to the situation is really just melted whatever else was left of the hardness, because she believed in me. Because I had a couple jobs I could have chose from, postal service or stay in retail management. And everyone was like, just stay what you're doing. You're good at it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, that type of work for me right now, I'm going to stay the same. I don't want to stay the same. Mm-hmm. So I went the different route, the harder route, the unknown. And my wife supported me.
Mm, amen. Mm-hmm.
She supported me, and she had to tell people off that were not understanding.
I was trying to do it friendly. It's kind of hard for me. It's hard for me to be friendly sometimes.
The new Rebecca.
I understand.
So in the old days, I would have.
Yeah.
So I just remember that vividly. And just from there, like, okay, this is for real. Mm-hmm. And like our faith has continued to grow since then. And I mean, I can share so many stories.
For me, I've been in this season where I'm really, it's a sweet season. And one of the things the Lord has impressed upon me, and somebody just said it on a podcast, I think it was a John Mark Comer podcast, and this guy that he was interviewing, he talked about the crucible of suffering and success. Yeah. And your background is different, but he uses all these things to draw you onto himself. No matter where you're at, if you don't have him, you have an emptiness, you have a void, and the enemy's after you, you know? And so they're different flavors of the same story of redemption.
Yes. Amen.
Well, let's go to how you were building a Christian family together, because I really like that. Once again, you guys just knew, well, these are some of the things that we should be doing, you know, because you got kids and that's a responsibility. Mm-hmm. So how did that work? Because you guys were doing Bible verses and...
Yes, I think once I knew my kids need to know, they need, because, you know, they watch you. Yeah, they watch you. They see mom changing.
They see everything.
Mm-hmm. Everything. So I'm like, well, I have a Bible. Let me get these kids a Bible, too. I just know they have to read it. You know, they have. So I got them Bibles. I tried different ones because first it was King James. They're like, thou, then. They're like, mom, what? I'm like, I don't know. Just read it. I just heard you're supposed to read it. So it just started like that, them reading. We started doing devotionals together. And then I'm like, okay, they're going to memorize scripture. It was just, thoughts would just come. But I know that was the Lord now. Mm-hmm. Thoughts would just come. These kids need to memorize scriptures. So then I got a little crazy with it. So I started writing scriptures around the house. So I'm like, I know for a fact they're going to open this cabinet and they're going to read what's on there. So they started memorizing scriptures throughout the house. And then we would play some games. If you guys know the scripture, you guys get a candy, because I don't let my kids eat candy. Well, now that they're older, they're over there eating candy behind my back. But they're like, candy? I'm like, yeah. So we would, you know, I would say a scripture. They're like, oh, that's from the book, blah, blah, blah. So that's how they started memorizing scriptures.
We use it at Youth Venture. It's called bribery.
It's a motivator.
Youth group, it's cool.
That's right. And then I would have them do the verse of the day. So I would have like a binder and write, okay, verse of the day. So I would try to make it fun, write, draw a little drawing so they would write the verse. They would have to find a verse and write it down. Mm. So little by little, they started memorizing verses. Mm. And then so now every day they know without me telling them, you wake up, the first thing you need to do is open the word.
Bible before breakfast.
Open the word. And they just started taking it in. Now they journal, they read the word, they have a lot of stuff memorized. Mm. And that was, for me, I was like, okay, see, we don't need the church. I got it.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. And then though, now you're in, and I'd like to know how you got there, you're in community and you're with people you're doing a lot of things right, but then you come together and you're part of the family. How did you plug into the family of God?
Well, I can remember the verse of the day, and that's a big one for me, because we still have the line paper with the drawings our kids would do, and all that was excellent. It was great. Even at some points, I would just look at my wife and just like, wow, like she's doing such an amazing job. But I remember we'd still hit the wall, if you will, sometimes, because we knew that once we would go to work or just situations would come up in life that we couldn't really resolve on our own, because we only grew so much.
Yeah.
And I can remember I had a good friend that I work with. He's now moved to Tennessee. You know, we would edify each other. Iron sharpens iron. And over time, he would just tell me, like, oh, you know, you guys got to get to church. You guys got to plug into the body. Things that I'm not used to hearing. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, we will. So over time, we visited a couple churches, you know, some of which, you know, just wasn't for us. I'll just leave it at that.
And of course, I would say, see, I told you. I told you. These churches, I told you. But he wouldn't stop. He would not stop.
I felt like a sports analogy. I got to take the baton.
Mm.
She's making so much headway in our children's life, but I didn't know for a fact that, you know, I as a father need to take a greater role and lead our home. Mm-hmm. So I started my own little search, which I, you know, of course I didn't tell her. I started watching, live services online, you know, churches in the area. And we live in Spring Valley, so El Cajon's not necessarily like our neighborhood, if you will. But I work out here. And I can remember the first time I came over here to deliver some mail.
He was our mailman.
No way.
Really? Right. It's truth, man.
I remember, kids are outside, and I'm like, this is a church? I'm used to the, you know, the ornate.
It's kind of a warehouse that they do church in.
You know, stained glass. I'm like, that's a church. I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird, but okay, whatever. So I had the name in my head, and then I start seeing the stickers, Foothills Church, you know, here, there, out where we live, almost everywhere. I was like, oh, I know where that church is at. And I remember The lady inside was really nice.
Those stickers work, man.
Yeah, they would love this work. Part of your story.
You knew our zip code.
Right. Knew your zip code. I could
with
see
the
that.
Extra four digits
yeah.
after it.
Yeah, exactly. So then I'm like, oh, let me check out one of their services online. Because this is kind of like the COVID era we're talking about, just coming out of it.
Okay. Yeah.
So I watch a service online. And first of all, like I love to worship. I know my wife does. So that's the first thing that hit me. I'm just like,
they were being remixed.
This is spirit filled worship. Yeah. I was like, wow, like through my TV. Okay, so then I listened to another service and I was like, okay, I already know her mind. So I'm saying, what's she going to pick apart about this place? So I watched and then I asked for her, you know, would you, you know, watch this with me? She's like, oh yeah, okay.
And then I ended up changing it. I was like, change this.
Yes. Yeah. And it was interesting because
I was like, change this.
I remember Brianna was singing.
Yay.
I think it was probably like a worship night because Mark DuPont started, you know, he was sharing the word, doing a little teaching. And then so from there, you know, she changed the channel.
I did. I was like, just change this thing.
So ultimately, she said, okay. And we visited Foothills and one step onto this campus, this church.
I called it a mega church.
She called it a mega church.
It actually is a mega church.
It's a mega church.
That's a fair.
But honestly, if you want to categorize this church as a mega church, Foothills does it right. Mm-hmm. As soon as we stepped on foot on this campus, this church, everyone has been so nice, genuinely nice, genuinely concerned, genuinely offering help. Mm-hmm. We've sought helping our marriage here with Danny. Amazing. I mean, there's so many names I can mention that they didn't put us through, like, well, who are you and how long you been here?
Yeah.
No, threw me off is people being so nice. I'm telling, why are they being nice and why are they smiling at me? Jason's like, you know, there's nice people out there. I'm like, no, this is weird.
Yeah, the Lord told us that you were coming.
I was like, what is this?
They started off with a couple of brothers and 30 people. You know, and just Mark and Dave's faithfulness over all the years, the DNA has not changed with the size of it. And then, of course, you would be poster children for get in a home group.
Well,
right?
Mm-hmm. There was never a moment that we became a mega church.
Yeah,
I don't
really
feel
kind of
any
build.
Different. No, I mean, like, it feels exactly the same as it did back then. You still get one-on-one relationships with people. You still get a hug from the Holy Spirit when you walk in. I mean, it's the same place.
Well,
it's a big church with a small church feel.
It's really true because what you've experienced fairly recently, we 25 years ago felt that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're right. It's by the grace of God, you know, it's family. Okay, well, let's go a little bit fast forward because some things have been happening and how the Lord has been continuing to invade your lives. There's a couple of things that really just stand out and I think can give some hope to people. But number one, Rebecca, you have a history of having a very active dream life.
Yes.
Pre-Jesus and currently. I'll wrap up the pre-Jesus stuff because it's terrifying. Just really bad demonic dreams.
Yes.
I mean, horrible. Mm. I remember when you explained it and it was like, that is just terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But currently, speaking of Mark DuPont, the Lord has been giving many people visions of what's happening, and it's already started and is continuing to happen in San Diego, and so much of it has to do with water.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so recently I think you heard Mark DuPont explaining a vision that the Lord gave him. We actually have a painting in the hallway there that represents that. And so Mark DuPont had this word for us, had this prophecy, had this vision, and guess what? Lord just didn't keep it to himself.
Yeah.
He gave the exact same thing to you.
He did.
You want to describe that?
Yes. Well, that night was worship night. It was on January. You know, we normally come. And for the last 3 years, I've been having dreams. I'm constantly dreaming. And sometimes when I wake up, I tell you, does anybody else dream? Like, does everybody just sleep and not dream?
I do.
And so I just started journaling for the last 3 years. I'm like, let me just write it down. I'm like, I know it means something. Like, I knew that I knew it meant something. So I would just journal and just kind of share it with Jason. But I'm like, this is weird. I'm just going to write it down. Because I forget stuff, like, right away I forget stuff.
Yeah.
So I've been having these water dreams, just water, and but they're waves. I'm like, what are these waves? But I'm not drowning in them. And I'm like, okay. So I just journal. So then last year, around October, November, I had a dream. And I just remember it was just big waves just coming. And I'm turning around. We were in our living room. And I'm like, turn around, Jason. I'm like, does anybody see these waves are coming? I'm like excited but scared because I just see these big waves forming in our backyard. But they're not coming in. They're just forming big. And they're just coming. And there's people just lined up in front of our home. Looking, I'm like, is anybody see, like, concerned? Does anybody see this? And nobody seems to be. And then just shifts, and we're in a store, and me and Jason have a shopping cart, and I'm like, okay, shopping cart, and I see everybody else shopping carts, but we have one, but ours has pillows, and I'm like, pillows, just put, you know, stacking pillows, and I'm like, and then I just wake up. So then, not too long, a few weeks or a month, I don't remember after that, I'm sleeping. And then I'm sleeping, and I remember in my dream, I'm trying to focus because there's so much going on in my dream. I'm like, okay, let me just focus on one thing. I just remember somebody just grabbing my head, just, here, focus, focus. So I focused, and then I lifted my head up, and I looked up, and it was Neil was standing there. And he was like, remember this scripture, write it down. I'm like, what, 2 Corinthians 14? I'm like, what? And I just wake up, and I'm like, okay, I have to remember that. So I just wrote it down, not knowing what it meant. And then the Lord, another time, I'm sleeping, and then I hear the Lord telling me another scripture, Jeremiah 33:3. I'm like, what? But I forgot the first part, Jeremiah. I was like, the 33:3. So I'm like, wow, writing it down. I'm like, what? And so I started praying. I'm like, Lord, what was the book? Well, and he gave me Jeremiah. So I wrote it down. So then fast forward, I'm like, just writing this stuff down. And then January comes, and then I hear Mark DuPont go up there, and I'm just listening. And just FYI, before all this, when people start saying they can prophesy, it goes along with the church. I'm like, I don't believe you. Yeah. I was like that too. He's up there talking. He's talking about his dream. And I'm like, he's like saying shopping carts. And then he's saying the scripture. And I look at Jason. I'm like, did you hear what he said? And he just, yeah, I heard. But I'm like excited. Like, no, did you hear what he, I had the same dream. Like, I'm just so excited.
Yeah.
And then that same month, at the end of the month, I had another water dream. It's like the beach, but the waves are forming, but they're coming hard and hard. I'm like, what is this? So then I'm like, I'll just keep it to myself, and I write it down. And, you know, and I was seeing Joanne. Joanne's great, and we're just...
Joanne Dennison's been on the show. She's a great counselor.
Love I was her. Just conversating with her, and, you know, I don't know how Mark's name came up, and I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I had the same dream as he did. She's like, what? I was like, oh, I had the same dream that, he did. She's like, you have to say something. I was like, oh. I was like, no, you know, it's just... They're just dreams, you know, it's just water. She goes, no, you have to say something. I'm like, no.
And if you only had someone in your life who would talk to somebody about it.
Yes, and I was like, I'm not saying anything, but I know who will.
Yeah.
And that would be Jason.
So Jason let the cat out of the bag.
Oh, yeah, he found him right away. I was like, oh, man.
You know, the thing for me in this, you guys, is that, first of all, the grace of God that he would... you know, the infinity, the creator of the universe, and he would be that intimate to talk to us, to let us know something. And Mark is going to be coming on the show to talk about his part in this, and you guys just recorded a video, right, with him that kind of explains it more thoroughly and takes a little bit more time to dig into that. But Jesus is up to something.
Yes,
there are things going on that we can't take for granted. There are people getting saved all over the place. Mm-hmm. It is amazing. The unity of the church, especially here in East County, is insane. Yes. I mean, we're really walking together in unity. The just one thing with all the people that, you know.
It was beautiful.
Well, I mean, bond is breaking all over the place.
Yeah, all over the place. In fact, a great example of it is the example, Jason, that you shared, which just isn't natural. You had a phone conversation that the Lord used you in, which was rather unusual, not your customary phone call. You want to talk about that?
Of course. So I work. I'm a mailman, so I'm on the street a lot. I get phone calls, you know, we all do, from like, it'll say scam likely or telemarketers, but I got this one phone call. I look at the number and then I just knew I had to answer it.
You didn't know the number?
I didn't know the number.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And then I answer it, and it's Sammy. So Jaslyn, our oldest daughter's biological father, who has pretty much her whole life been in jail, and not your, you know, little county jail. He's like Pelican Bay.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's
that's how I met Jazz. She says, "You guys have a ministry where you'll send literature to somebody in prison. I want that." And I guess we connected on that. Mm-hmm. She was so desperate for him to get something.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you know, her seeking that for him was a struggle for me, because I raised her since she was, you know, a baby, pretty much. So I've been there for everything. You know, the diaper changes, the first time she fell, the first time she broke a bone, when she got into high school, and she was really good at track. Like, I was there. I was calling out from work to go to the track meets. But then I recalled my own struggle internally with identity. And so I can remember looking at her, and she's trying to seek him, and I'm like, she's just doing what she's at where I was at.
Yeah.
The difference being now, like, we're a family of believers, and we need to be the first generation that handles this correctly.
Come on.
Through a lot of prayer and a lot of just like, I can't do this on my own, Lord. I can't.
Yeah.
It's just confusing, you know, however you want to package it. I was confused. I was having doubt. And him and I have talked before, but it was always very random. You know, and years would go by, we'd get a phone call. Mm-hmm. But we're doing the series, the Just One series. We're going over a book. We're at home group.
That was the Scent book?
Yeah, the Scent book.
Yeah.
We're at home group. And then I just was reminded that I need to pray before my feet even touch the ground in the morning.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So when I wake up, still to this day, I pray for a fresh filling of the Spirit. And my area that I always need help in is that boldness and courageousness just to do, okay? So that morning started with a prayer like that. Went to work. I'm out on the street. Phone rings. Don't recognize the number. Jason, you need to answer it. I answer it. It's Sammy. And right there, I just knew the conversation was going to be different. He started by thanking me. He's never spoken to me this way. He started by thanking me, just kind of mentioned how much Jazz has grown and matured and what a good job we've done as her parents. And I was taken aback. Mm-hmm. And then once I got my chance to speak, I just, you know, it's real simple. I just, "Sammy, how are you?" "Well, you know, it's crazy in here. You know, the jail stuff going on." And I said, "Oh, well, you know, thanks for sharing that with me, but how are you?" Because I know, you know, we've sent you a Bible before. She's like, "Oh, you know, and I get stuff from your church. It's cool, it's cool." You know, so just that dynamic. And the third time I asked him, "But how are you?" I can tell finally he's like, "Well, you know, it's just hard in here. I could tell he couldn't see an end. To like, he can't see his destination, like where his life's going." And he talks about, you know, he goes to like church in jail, and he knows some believers in there. And I remember just pausing him because he kept talking about the same thing. And I just remember saying, "But do you have a relationship with Jesus? Come on. Do you?" "Well, you know," and he's, you know, try to divert. "Well, you know, my dad was telling me," I was like, "But do you?" He's like, no, I don't.
Wow.
I said, "Well, I mean, I was there before too. I don't know what you think about me, but I'm not some holy saint, no. But what I know what I can do and what I can help you with is I can introduce you to Jesus." So right there, led him to the Lord. And we're on the phone, and the phone cuts off like every 30 minutes, something like that. Yeah. So there was a couple times he called back.
I love that part.
But one part, it was just like a long pause. And I can just feel that he's in that spirit of acceptance, kind of working things out on his own. he called me back one more time, and he's just like, you know, Jason, thank you. You could tell he's kind of like a macho guy mm-hmm. on the phone, so he's kind of struggling with thanking another man for something. I could tell, but I just let him talk. I said, you know what? You can call me at any time. Mm-hmm. You know where I live. You have our address. And I said, in fact, I've never gotten in the way of Jazz communicating with you mm-hmm. because I didn't have that when I was young. So I just knew that she needed to always know where you're at, who you are, mm-hmm. and have a chance to get to know you. Yeah.
What a great dad.
Welcome to Jason and Rebecca. Wow.
I love God.
I love the Lord.
Yeah.
I love how he cares about the most, what seemingly seems like such a little thing.
Yeah.
But to us, it's a big deal, which makes it a big deal to God. And that's just amazing to me. Like that fact that that's true. That's amazing.
I think we should stay in touch with these two, Brianna, and then every year we'll just do a follow-up. Does yeah. that sound good?
Yeah, part 2 and 3 and 4.
Oh, no.
What a minister's heart you have. Yeah. What a minister's heart you have. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray. Father, this is just an example of what you will do if we trust you. Yes. You change anger to joy. Mm. You change the pursuit of emptiness into the fullness of life. You heal Brianna. Mm. You do amazing things, Father God. And so just ask right now for the person who is listening right now, wherever they are in these types of stories, that they would give themselves to you completely and fully so that they can realize what eternal life in Jesus is. And then, Father, I ask that you would unleash them on an unsuspecting civilization for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Amen.